Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 11th, 2020. Another beautiful day in Northeast Georgia. I just don't understand why, the weather is like all kind of screwed up, and I don't want to hear none of this garbage about global warming or man-made climate change. You know, because the way I look at it is, you know, the Earth goes through these natural warming and cooling stages. We look back through history and we can do this scientifically by looking at the layer of rock. We can actually go to the Arctic and look at the layers of ice, and we can see scientifically where the Earth has gone through these various warming and cooling stages, which is why, how do you explain an ice age or an extremely hot period where, everything goes tropical? Natural cooling and warming cycles of the planet. But it just seems kind of odd where you get these days like here in Northeast Georgia. For the past couple of weeks, our days have been getting up in the 70s and the 80s. But nights are dropping to like 50. I just don't get it. At least the days are nice where you can get out and work. I see Bringing It Boy and Hame Strapped in the chat room. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you with us this evening. Not looking forward to Wednesday. I got a doctor's appointment on Wednesday at the Augusta Pain Center, where I go to get these injections and treatments on my lower spine for severe damage, which, a result of living hard and working hard and just pushing my body to its limits, and now I'm paying for it. Thank goodness for good insurance, right? Anyway, I've got a lot to get to, so let's get right to it. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, for those of you in the chat room, you see there the Claydex pandemic exercise, where I've laid out for you all the links to the four different segments of the exercise, the website, which is the Center for Health Security, and that's the website for the exercise itself, and of course the little brief description of how they describe what the Claydex exercise is. Again, for those who are interested, starting next Sunday, I want to do kind of like a roundtable kind of thing, where I have, including myself, three, maybe four people. So I'm looking for two to three other people to join me every Sunday for four Sundays in a row, beginning next Sunday, where each Sunday will air one segment in its entirety on the Spreaker broadcast, because it's 3 hours, so it's, you know, that's the perfect format for that. And I want to have a roundtable discussion on what we hear in this, in these, each one of these segments. And if you're interested, you're going to need to watch all four of the segments so that you know what we're talking about. And then if you're interested, you can email me the1AmericanRenegade@gmail.com and say, I want to be on the roundtable. And based on how many people asked to be on the round table will be determined on, you know, we'll break them up. If we get a bunch of people want to do it, then what I'll try to do is have different people on each segment. And you're kind of want to tell me which segment you'd like to sit in on the round table, because that'll make it a lot easier for me to just to sort everybody out. I got a funny feeling I'm not going to get a whole lot of response. So there's a good chance that you could be able to sit in on every roundtable. Suzette from Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker, the channel again is Ideas and Bulletproof Radio. I would love to have her on. Hamestrap, who's also in the chat room, would be a great one to have on. I've reached out to people like Vicki Davis and Darren Weeks of Govern America, Farron Schoaf of the Alternative Media, and several other talk radio hosts that I know that I have personal contact with. I've reached out to them. I'm waiting to hear back from them. Vicki has said that she will watch them, and then we'll have a little chat, a personal phone call conversation between her and I to kind of work that out. Farron Schoaf has said he's going to look at them and he'll get back with me. So there's a good chance we'll have them. But I'd like to try to get as many people as possible. I really want your input on this because, you know, remember we've got Dr. Fauci going back to 2017 when, you know, right there in the very beginning of Trump's presidency in January of 2017, where Dr. Fauci came out and said, this next administration is going to be faced with a pandemic. You kind of have to wonder how he knew this. You know what I'm saying? And then we had the event 201, which happened in October of last year, 2019, and it just seemed kind of odd that those two things occurred and now we have this global pandemic. But then the icing on the cake was this Claydex pandemic exercise that took place in, what was it? Let me see here. May 15th of 2018. So we've got 2017, 2018, 2019, all having to do with the Trump administration having to deal with a global pandemic. And at this point now, I've gone from my working theory that this was planned to you bet your sweet ass this was planned. So I really want to do a roundtable on this thing. So even those of you who listen to the archives, and I do have the ability to go and look at the stats, which the stats post like every 2 days after the episode. So this being Monday, I'll be able to go on Wednesday and look and see the stats for today And so I'm able to do this, so I know people are listening to the archives. I may not have a lot of live listeners, but I got a lot of people listening to the archives. So those of you listening to the archives, here's your chance. You want to be heard? Here's your chance. And for those of you who listen live, definitely want your input on this. And that'll be, again, that'll be beginning next Sunday on Spreaker. And it will all be done via Skype conference. So if you don't have Skype, you won't be able to do it. You'll only be able to do this if you have Skype. So let's get on with the issues for the night. President Trump, remember he's twice now. He's invoked the Defense Production Act. And the second time he did it was to insist that meatpacking plants stay open. But that didn't go over so well with folks, because a week after he tried to prop up the meat supply chain by way of executive order, you know what? Seven plants shut their doors. Why? Well, let's look at just the meat slaughtering and processing industry. They were hit the hardest. Remember, we had Smithfield Foods, their largest plant in Ohio? Or Sioux Falls, not Ohio, Sioux Falls. They had to shut down. That's Smithfield's largest plant. And they had to shut down because 50% of the state's cases were at the plant itself. We've had here in Chesterfield County, South Carolina, which is, you know, it's only about 3 or 4 hour drive from me, they had to kill off a bunch of their poultry herds because of a new lethal strain of avian flu. Weird how these things happen. And then we've heard, you know, all these different pork processing plants, and even Tyson has closed some of their plants. So Trump's executive order declaring, you know, invoking the Defense Production Act didn't work out quite so well. And, you know, there were 167 plants across this country with outbreaks affecting 9,400 people. That's a hell of a workforce. And the plants can't stay open if their people keep coming down sick. So with all of that, we end up with Stuart Applebaum, who is the president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, representing the workers in the food processing, retailing, and light manufacturing industries, jumping all up in Trump's grill. And here's what he said. The decision was outrageous and was the wrong thing to do. What President Trump's action does is require plants to stay open, even if there are serious reasons for them to be closed by state or other authorities. When a plant is closed for the purpose of deep cleaning, for example, and this is to ensure protecting the safety of and lives of not only the people working, but the customers as well. And Trump is saying he's not going to allow that to happen. Well, this is the wrong decision, because the best way to protect the food chain is to protect the safety of the workers. Now, I used to work at a chicken processing plant. Okay? I worked at a plant that was run by a corporation called ConAgra. Now, they were bought out by Pilgrim's Pride several years ago. after I had left. But I can tell you that with great regularity, from being someone who's worked in this field before, it was about 13 years ago, I can tell you from personally being someone who's actually worked in the meat processing, you have to shut these plants down regularly for a deep clean, which means the conveyor belts have to stop, all of your processing equipment must be torn apart, sanitized, reassembled. This takes time. It is a hell of a job. So, you know, executive order or not, you cannot force these plants to run 24/7. You have, even if you didn't have strict regulations by OSHA and the FDA, you would still have to do this as a matter of conscience. And the latest of these plants to have to deal with this is Tyson. And this was just today, this article came out in Business Insider, that at least 4,585 Tyson workers in 15 states have been diagnosed positive. 18 of these have died. The company sadly does not offer full paid sick leave. And while they do offer short-term disability, that only covers 60% of the workers' pay. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with here. I, at this point, and here's what I'm telling people, it's up to you to decide for yourself. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I will tell you what I'm doing. And if you think it's a good idea, then I invite you to join me. I flatly refuse to buy any commercial meat. Period. I do not care who processes the food. I do not care what country it comes from, even if it comes from the United States. I don't care if it's in the meat section as fresh meat, or if it's in the canned food section. I will not buy any canned food until this nightmare is over. Because I am not willing to risk my own health. And I have people who come to visit me from out of town. And when they come to visit, they stay with me for sometimes a month, 2 months, because they know I'm not in any hurry to rush anybody away. I like having my buddies from across the country come and visit me. And since they're all retired, they got no place to be. They get to spend a couple months. And we have a great time. And I'm not going to be buying any kind of commercial meat and have to worry about, is it going to make them sick? I'm not going to do it. I have family who will come to visit from time to time. I'm not going to risk their health either. What I can do is I can trap, I can hunt, I can fish. There are people around here who will sell you a cow, a pig, a goat, chickens. I don't have a problem getting meat, but I will not buy commercial meat, period, until this is over. Now, if you think that's a good idea, I invite you to join me in that. And here's the cool thing about it. if enough people do this, we're going to get someone's attention. Then we might get something done. You want to get something done, you hit these people where it hurts them the most, in the pocketbook. Because if the, and I know this is kind of controversial because this is going to affect the farmers. But if they can't get meat to market, they have to euthanize their cows, their pigs, their chickens, whatever. And if the processing plants can't process the food, meat shortages are going to happen. But as long as any meat processing plants are still running, there's always the risk that the food could be contaminated. Now, I've heard it said that if meat has the COVID-19 virus on it, when you cook it, the heat will kill it. Even if it doesn't, when you eat it, the hydrochloric acid and stuff, your digestive juices, will kill it. But what happens between the time you get the meat, you cook it, and you eat it? You have to handle it. And if the cooking does, which means it gets on your hands, well, now you're at risk. And if you live like I do, you constantly have open sores on your hands because I do hard work. My hands are always getting torn up if I'm not getting ripped apart by barbed wire, or I'm trying to clear some briars out of the way and I get scratched all up. I constantly have, you know, scratches and scrapes and cuts on my hands because I'm a homesteader. Comes with the territory. So there's open wounds. That's the danger right there, just handling the food, because I don't know if maybe COVID-19 might be on that packaging or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not willing to take the risk. All right, next up, and I know y'all are waiting for the CBS cover-up. But since we're talking about Trump and this, the meat processing and all that, this takes us into the next thing, which is employment and the economy. Now, there was an interesting article that came out a few days ago, and it was entitled "Why the Unemployment Rate Could Be 5% Points Higher Than What They're Claiming." Now, they're saying that unemployment right now is like 14.7%. But if it's actually 5% higher, then we're looking at, or 5 points higher, then we're looking at, you know, 19.7, 20% unemployment. But in actuality, we're probably looking more like Depression era numbers. And during the Depression, unemployment was 24%. And we're being told by some sources that the actual unemployment rate is more like 25, 26%, which means we've exceeded the Depression numbers, which is not good. They're saying 20.5 million people lost their jobs last month. Right now, they're saying altogether total about 30 million jobs have been lost. Well, if 20.5 million were lost last month, that means we've already lost 5 million just in the first week and a half, first week and a half of this month. We can't keep going like this. But this article actually brought out, and I know we can't really necessarily rely on some of the sources that are out there, but I thought this was really worth talking about because it gives us a couple actual graphs that we can look at. And this comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which are saying that they believe the unemployment rate is actually higher than what they're claiming. They say that according to Pantheon's chief economist, Ian Shepherdson, quote, the plunge in payrolls ought to have lifted the unemployment rate to nearly 20%. Now, the April 2020 jobs report shows $20 million job losses, unemployment rate sitting at 14.7%. But again, we have Ian Shepherdson of Pantheon's chief, Pantheon, telling us that the unemployment rate is more like 20%. And I can believe that. But there's this interesting chart that breaks the job listings into three categories. You have government, private goods, which is the producing, the production sector, and then the private service providing sector, which is the service industry would be like hotels, motels, restaurants, spas, salons, these kind of things. The private goods production center would be like the carpet manufacturing industry, clothing manufacturing, food processing and packaging, you know, these kind of things. Ore extraction, you know, where, you know, like the coal industry, the iron industry, the mining industry, the smelting plants where they smelt the ores into like bars of steel and such things as this. This would be the private goods production sector. So we've got the government, private goods, and private services. Now, in the government, well, the government are according to the chart, they're lumping the mining and logging industry side by side with the government, but they do keep them separate. So here's what we have. We have, according to this chart, we have mining and logging. They've lost 50,000 jobs. That's a hell of a loss. In the government sector, 980,000 jobs lost. In the construction sector, here's where we get into the private goods and the production sector. In the construction field, they've lost 975,000 jobs, and this would be housing, commercial, manufacturing plants, anything that has to do with construction, bridge construction, roads, all of these things. This is all, all of this. Anything where you would see a group of people working together to build or create something. Roads, bridges, railways, housing, manufacturing plants, anything like this, construction. In manufacturing, this would be like food processing, the textile industry, making clothing, making rugs, making carpets, anything like that, that's manufacturing. They've lost 1.33 million jobs. Then we get into the private service sector, hotels, motels, such things as this, and they've broken it up. Wholesale trade, 362.8 thousand jobs lost. Retail trade, 2.1 million jobs lost. Transportation and warehousing, 584.1 thousand jobs lost. In the information sector, 254,000 jobs are lost. In the financial activities, this is all service and stuff like that, 262,000 jobs have been lost so far. In the professional and business services, 2.1 million jobs lost. Education and health services, 2.5 million jobs lost. Leisure and hospitality, here's where you get into restaurants, hotels, such things as that, 7.6 million jobs have been lost. And then other services such as nail salons, hair salons, tattoo shops, such things as this, movie theaters and such things as that, 1.3 million jobs lost. So the economy is not looking good. In fact, all indications show, according to the reports, all job gains of the past 10 years have been lost. Think about this. The job gains of the past 10 years have been lost in just a few months. We can't keep going like this. We are at depression. If we're not at depression numbers, we are damn close to it. And this is scaring the hell out of me. I believe we have either Robert or his wife, Suzette, from Suzette Live Talk. Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey.
How you doing, some... Suzette?
It's me, it's me. You know, I was looking at those numbers, and something that people might not be taking in consideration, not saying you, but when the average person looks at those numbers, and yes, they are dire. However, those numbers, as this Labor Bureau statistics were saying, should be higher because we had a shutdown, which meant nobody was supposed to be at work. You know, but we did have essential workers and people that have were non-essential but were able to still work depending on their companies and so forth. But so the jobs that are showing up or filing for unemployment benefits, it's because their work has not got back on track again, you know, whether it be a hairdresser or a restaurant. Now, they're not all going to come back because there are we're going to lose a lot because it was just too financially devastating for them to find their way back on, you know, back in business. But for the most part, those jobs are suspended, many of those numbers, but they have to live right now. They have to eat. And so they're, you know, dipping into their unemployment benefits just to keep their head above water until their state says, okay, you can go back to work full time now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like you said, a lot of these jobs are not going to come back because we're already hearing reports of small mom and pops that say that they have lost so much revenue just in the past few months that they're closing for good. They're shutting down because there's no way that they'll ever recover from this. And this is what I find very disturbing because, you know, if we had just been, you know, use a little common sense, there really was no reason to shut down the economy like this. If people had just acted responsibly and paid attention to what was going on and took the necessary precautions. And, you know,
right.
I'm thinking if we had gone the way of, like, who was it, the Swiss? Look at what they did. They kept running. They were like, you know, if you want to shut down, that's up to you. But if you want to work, if you want to stay open, that's up to you. We're giving you some options here. And they kept their economy running. And, yeah, they lost a little bit. But look at them. They're still going.
Well, when you think about that, it appears that they had some information that apparently everybody else in the world had and hid from their people or didn't know that because we were told that it was so deadly, so contagious. Now, if it's that contagious and that deadly, then you could almost say that Sweden and Denmark were negligent because they would subject their people to that. Unless they knew that, yes, it was very contagious, but not as deadly as it could be, you know, or whatever. In which case, then they took that and they said, well, all right, it's not that deadly. It is contagious, very contagious. So eventually we're all going to get it. All right, what do you guys think? Okay, so let's just keep doing what we're doing and just get through it. So you
right.
have to ask
and
that question. What did they know?
Yeah, and if we look at the actual numbers, and of course now knowing that they have been inflating the numbers quite dramatically, but if we look at the numbers and we begin to realize, remember it was a couple of weeks ago when we learned that in actuality, depending on where you lived in the country here in the United States, depending on where you lived, your actual numbers of infected and exposed, whether they were asymptomatic or infected and were able to stay home and recover or hospitalized or whatever it was, everyone who's been exposed and would necessarily test positive if they were tested, the numbers should actually be, depending on where you live, anywhere from 40, 45, up to 55 times higher than what they're projecting. And by that alone, that sets the mortality rate of this coronavirus at 0.1%, which is exactly equal to the seasonal flu. So there was no reason to shut down the economy.
Exactly. And this is not your typical recession, you know, that we're in or entering in, because a typical recession would be through the fault of spending, misspending, mishandling, you know, debt and everything else. Businesses that rely on banks, but why can't banks support them? Because banks don't have the money. But anyway, our economy was rolling along just fine. And then people were
preventing. Oh, yeah, we were doing really good. We were doing really good, you know. I mean,
just hanging in there at least. But, you know, now people were prevented from going to work, so now businesses are gone. You know, small top mom and pop shops. So didn't have to happen. Not this soon anyway.
It didn't. And what people aren't getting is, you know, we've done this to ourselves. And, you know, everything that the market had gained just in the past 3 years was lost in less than a week. Simply because
I think it was 24 hours. That was crazy.
Simply because people overreacted.
They weren't listening to you. They weren't listening to American Renegade. So no, they didn't have to overreact. Damn it. You were trying to get the message out there. You're still trying to get the message out there. So where are the people? Why aren't there more people in the chat room? Damn it. Listen up, people.
Yeah, for real. But since we're talking about the economy, let me see. Where is it? Here it is. I've got this TV host, Mike Rowe. I've got a clip from him where he says that you know he's got a front row seat to the greatest self-inflicted economic disaster in history. Take a listen.
State of Georgia got hammered by the media last month when Governor Kemp started to let people back to work. Here's a headline from The Atlantic. Georgia's experiment in human sacrifice. Yeah, the story read like this. The state is about to find out how many people need to lose their lives to shore up the economy. It turns out Georgia got it right, and the media got it wrong. Take a look at this. See the trend line? A decrease of 66 new cases per day over the last several weeks. People are starting to push back on the shutdowns across the country. Look here. Remember the salon owner named Shelley Luther who was thrown in jail in Dallas and slapped with a heavy fine? Remember her crime? Cutting hair so she could feed her family. Texas corrected the judge's mistake. She's out now. And the Texas lieutenant governor put the fine on his tab. But America is seeing the beginning of class warfare. In reverse, though, the rich and the comfortable telling the working men and women to stay in their homes and shut up. I spoke with Mike Rowe about this earlier. So, Mike, when you hear stories about salon owners being thrown in jail for just trying to make ends meet so they can feed their kids, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel smart, to be perfectly honest with you, because for years, through my foundation, I've been saying, look, cookie cutter advice is the devil. It's the enemy of common sense. And we have been, for the last 3 months, dispensing cookie cutter advice in a way like I've never seen before. And by that, I just mean we've taken this incredibly complicated situation and we've treated it as if it's the same from sea to shining sea. We treated the whole country like it was a hotspot, and virtually every citizen as though they were infected. And we did it in the name of safety. And the unintended consequences of doing that have become, I think, the true headlines of the day.
Yeah, I asked Dr. Fauci about that. And I said, Doctor, could you have maybe just surged the resources into the zones and maybe locked down retirement communities and really put the resources there instead of treating the entire country like New York? And he kind of hedged a little bit. And I think if you look back a year later and say, if we had done things differently, maybe we wouldn't have shut the entire country down. Maybe we didn't need to shut the entire state of Wyoming down when they have as many fatalities that you can count on two hands. Now, do you see a movement in this country for people going back to work regardless of what the governor tells them to do?
I was one of those annoying B-list celebrities at the very beginning of this who was out there saying, look, stay home. And I did it because I didn't know what was happening, and I didn't think anybody knew what was happening, and the country had to get its head around the totality of these projections. We couldn't afford to pretend that more people might die in this thing than died in the Second World War. So we had to get our breath.
All right, I'm going to cut it off there because in the interest of time. But Suzette, what do you think? You think Georgia got it right?
Well, Georgia, yes. Georgia's the one with the governor that was opening before Trump had said it was okay to let it open, right?
Yeah, you know, it was like Trump was like, liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, liberate, liberate, liberate. Shame on you, Georgia. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We have been steadily declining on our cases almost daily. And today we hit our record. Today we set a record
less than 66
lower
people.
I mean, just
died, right?
Yeah, we set a record today here in Georgia, and you know, I think we got it right. Of course, I would have preferred not closing at all, but you know, at least. You know, at least we're on the way. We're trying to recover. We're trying to push back, you know. But you know, we still have other states like the Shelley Luther over there in Texas. You know, she's not going to close.
My tyranny.
You know, there's this barber. Where is he in Michigan? Who says he ain't closing? You know, Governor Whitmer, you know, sent her stormtroopers to shut him down, and at the time they showed up, he had a state police officer in there waiting to get a haircut. It was great. He was like, oh no, I'm not shutting down. No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to have it. You know, and we've got pastors out in California now. You know, we got pastors out in California saying we're going to open up. We're going to open the churches. We don't care. I mean, it's beautiful.
Huh?
And Elon Musk threatened to leave California and move his company to Texas. He's got one in Nevada, and so he's going to move the rest of everything out of California because, because the governor is keeping things locked down.
Elon Musk, he's like, you know, your governor, you know, he's like, or no, one of your representatives out there in California told Elon Musk to go F himself. He's like, fine, I can shut down. We can't work anyway, so we can go over here to Texas, build a whole new plant. I'm sure they'd love to have the jobs. It's going to be interesting to watch California come November. It really is. I can't wait to see.
In my vision, purple. Is it red? Is it red? Purple, red.
Yeah, and you got, what's your name? What's your name? Hill? Congresswoman Hill? Who got caught? Got caught basically with her pants down, no pun intended. Her seat's up for grabs, and they're talking about that seat could very well go red very easily, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All these Democrats out there in California who are up for re-election this year, it's going to really be interesting if we see California go red. I'm going to love it. It's going to be great.
I tell you what, though, if it doesn't even turn purple, then we know something's up. Something was fixed.
Yeah,
because with
for
all
real.
The people coming out, the people that are protesting, the people that are opening their businesses and leaving their businesses and going out of state, we know something's going on here as far as the shakeup and the tired, you know, ridiculousness of our government in Sacramento. So, yeah, there's too many people for it to just stay blue, true blue. So, yeah, I agree. I'm going to let you go because I know you're getting ready to end your show, and I don't want to take all your time. But thank you very much for taking my call, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, Suzette. That's Suzette from Suzette Live Talk, heard every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk, on Spreaker.com, and the channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. Again, that's every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Suzette Live Talk. Thank you, Suzette. Always a pleasure to hear from you. If we don't see California at least go purple, we know, something ain't right, okay? But I guess we'll have to get to the CBS because I've got a clip for the CBS cover-up attempt, which is 11 minutes or almost 12 minutes long. So we'll put that tomorrow. That'll be the very first thing we talk about tomorrow, I promise. But since we're talking about people standing up and saying, I will not comply, people like Shelley Luther at the Salon a la Mode there in Texas, what's his name? Carl Mencken, the barber in Michigan, who was visited by Governor Whitmer's stormtroopers just a few days ago, and he says he ain't shutting down either. He don't care. All these California pastors that are talking about we're opening back up. We're not going to do this. We're opening back up. But since we're talking about that, there is some good news coming out of California, and that is a California sheriff who says his name is, let me find it here. Where's his name? I can't find his name. But anyway, this is a California sheriff, and this is beautiful. He says, we're not going to enforce stay-at-home orders because it doesn't make sense anymore.
From the beginning, I told you that I would not be enforcing the stay-at-home order, partly because I trusted our residents' ability to do the right thing without the fear of being arrested. I refuse to make criminals out of business owners, single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals for exercising their constitutional rights.
Well, that California sheriff getting a round of applause when he was done for standing up for his community, saying he will not enforce the local lockdown. That sheriff, Chad Bianco of Riverside, California, joins us right now from Riverside, California. Sheriff, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You got a big round of applause after you said that. Why did you want to go public with the fact that you would not enforce the local restrictions?
Well, I don't know if it's that I want to go public. It was just a need here. It was the board was trying to take a vote on whether or not they were going to ease restrictions. And, you know, our situation that we are in here is it is nothing like they told us it was going to be in the beginning. It's time to get back. Opening up our businesses and letting our people do what our normal business activities are. And, you know, you can't arrest somebody for going out and exercising in public or not wearing a mask. You know, at the same time, they're trying to force me to release real criminals from jail. They want me to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens that are, you know, trying to support a family. It doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah. You feel that the government can't choose who stays open and who closes because every job is essential to somebody.
You know, it certainly is. You know, my job certainly is essential, but so is the job that is putting food on somebody's table. You know, a single mom that has three jobs to support her kids, her job is more essential to her than mine is to me. So the government should not be picking and choosing who gets to open. It doesn't make sense that a small business can't open, but we can all go shoulder to shoulder in Costco's and Home Depot's, and that's okay, but we can't responsibly go into smaller businesses and you know, do what we're supposed to be doing by keeping apart. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so there's this California sheriff saying, nah, not going to do it, not going to do it. And you know, he makes a good point. Because when we look at the case of, like, Shelley Luther, the owner of Salon Alamo there in Texas, you know, they were telling her she could not open, but, you know, they wouldn't have known that she was open if it weren't for just a few doors down from her, a pet grooming store called and snitched on her, and you know they're going to tell her you can't open your salon, but a pet grooming salon can open. I mean, that's seriously, yeah. It makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. And just as Suzette was saying when she called in, you know, there was absolutely no reason for any of this at all. We didn't need to shut down. There was no reason for it. So, you know, this was a case of people just simply overreacting, you know, but it is so nice to, you know, to see and hear people, you know, saying, I will not comply. You know, I thought when I was, you know, making comments like, I don't care what, you know, what anybody says, I'm not going to be made a prisoner in my own home. I'm not going to stay at home. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what I normally would do. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. I don't care. I simply will not be made a prisoner in my own home because you people want to overreact to something that is not nearly as bad as you want to make it sound. It's nice to see all of these people in Michigan and California and Iowa and Texas and North Carolina and Tennessee and Kentucky and Florida and all around the country. People are starting to stand up and say, I will not comply. Well, it's about damn time. I was wondering, you know, I've been wondering for months, or actually for years, on some of the broadcasts that I call in on and talk to on RBN and other outlets. You know, I've asked many times over the years, how much more can the people take before they finally say enough is enough? Well, I think we finally figured it out. I think we have finally seen what it takes to get the people to say bullshit. It's very refreshing. I am so, for the first time in a long time, and, you know, I was pissed when Michelle Obama said this, but because actually she had no reason to say it, but I think this is a different kind of situation. For the first time in a long time, I feel proud to be an American because I am seeing people standing up. And that gives me hope that maybe all is not lost. Maybe we have a chance. Time will tell. We have to wait and see. All right, with that, I want to remind everybody, if you are interested in being a part of the roundtable beginning next Sunday, it'll be four Sundays in a row, you need to go to YouTube and look up Clade X, C-L-A-D-E, space X, Clade X. It's a four-part exercise. Watch those. If you are interested in being a part of the roundtable after you watch them, email me. The number one, AmericanRenegade@gmail.com, and tell me you want to be a part of the roundtable. And we'll start getting this set up. Again, this is going to begin next Sunday, so you only have a week to get to get in line. And I really would like your input on this because this really starts this. Is what this, you know, when you take Anthony Fauci in 2017 telling us, in January 2017 telling us that the Trump administration would have to deal with a pandemic, and the October 2019 Event 201 global pandemic exercise, and then you add this May 15th of 2018 global pandemic exercise. I am now convinced this was intended. Till next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there. See you tomorrow. Yeah.